I hope you feel better. You can be seated. Don't forget to praise him. If you don't feel better, come on back up here to the altar. We'll try it again. But I want to preach today on something called a new thing. You've read the scripture before, and I thought to myself, sitting there, how many people today, how many of us want a new thing? A new thing in my life. Do we want anything new from God? You know, you come in on Easter and the house is overflowing. You come in today and there's too much wood there. You talk about this, we talk about that. My mind went 1,000 places. And then she starts singing this song about your heart, you know. So here we are. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad God's here. And how many of us really want a new thing? God wants to do a new thing. Do you need a new thing in your life? You say, well, isn't Jesus good enough? I've had Jesus for a long time. Yes, Jesus is good enough, but do you need Jesus to do something new in you? Do you desire Jesus to do something new in you? There's time, from time to time, I have to say to the Lord, God, I need a new touch today. God, I need a new vision. I need a new anointing today. And I believe that we're all that way. God wants to do a new thing. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 on the screen says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Do you not see what I'm up to here? Would you seek a new vision? Would you be interested in the things of God again? You say, well, I never lost interest in the things of God. I don't mean it that way. You may not have lost interest in all the things of God, but at the same time, would there be a possibility that you need to kick it up a notch? Would there be a possibility that you need this new interest in the things of God instead of just everything in the world? Would it be that God wants to do a new thing? Well, I believe he does. In all of us, in our families, in the church, in the body, in individual lives. Isaiah was writing to this children of Israel here, and they were having a tough time. It was a bleak period of their history. They're in captivity, they've lost everything, and they were just plain homesick for the blessings of God. They were homesick, they were tired, and they were looking for these promises. Now you got to remember that God had promised, and they were just in a bleak time in their history. So I want to give you a step or two here this morning. When you want a new thing, God wants to do something new in your life. The next slide on the screen says, change your focus. Sometimes we got to change our focus, and God will help us do that. He'll help us. Quit looking behind and start looking ahead. And you say, well, now some of those things in the past are good things. Sure they are. And that's a great thing, great memories, great things. But quit looking behind and the way everything used to be and start looking ahead. Well, I'm 95 years old. I don't have much to look forward to. Oh, yes, you do. I don't know if anybody here is 95, but you've got heaven to look forward to. Well, I'm this age or I'm this stage in life. You know, what do I look for? Quit looking behind, no matter what age you are. If you're 10 or if you're 20, if you're 80 or whatever, don't look behind. He's saying, look ahead. Look ahead to what God's up to in the future. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. If you're always looking behind, you can't see where you're going. God wants to do a new thing. Well, I'm saved. Nobody's questioning that. Yeah, I know. Okay, I'm saved. But what is God up to today? The question is not what did God do for you 10 years ago? That's a great thing. Praise God for what he did 10 years ago. What is God doing today? What is God wanting to do today? Not last week when the house was full and, oh, we're celebrating the resurrection, but today. What's God want to do today? He wants to do a new thing. And if we're going to see what He's up to, we can't depend on past victories. Well, you say, now we're celebrating 125 years. Should we just forget that? No, shouldn't forget it at all. We ought to know that 125 years ago, they were a group of people gathering at what became known as Jones Chapel Church of God. All right? 125 years ago, there was somebody preaching and leading music. There were people getting saved. They were workers in the kingdom all those years ago. Thank God for it. But that don't help us necessarily today. Now, we build on things and all that. We know that. But what is God doing today? Well, we're celebrating a 125-year anniversary. Praise the Lord for it. But that's not going to get us through tomorrow. Celebrate those victories. Thank God for those times, on up through time. But we can't just look behind. We've got to look ahead. You can't depend on past victories to sustain you. Well, I got saved 10 years ago. Praise the Lord for that. What are you doing today? What's God doing in your heart, your mind, and your soul today? Quit looking behind. Got those victories? Sure, you've got those victories. It's kind of like people here on up through time. You think of that 125 years, good times, bad times, high times, low times. Pastors are listed out there on the wall. You know, before I knew there was a Meridian, Mississippi, God had a church here. Amen? Before some of you ever knew that there was a Jones Chapel Church of God, God was at work right here. In this area, this part of the world. People here said, man, we've wanted to build a family life center for years and years and years. People wanted to see a building. Now, it sits down there, and we're using it some, but we're not using it to its full potential. But that's a past victory. We thank God for it. Now, we just need to get it fully paid for. So, you know what that means. Get off your checkbook. Get your checkbook out. Don't forget it. Well, that thing's been there forever. No, it's not been there forever. It's been there since 2003. Have you ever got you a new car? You get in that new car, and I mean it's brand spanking new. It's got 2 miles on it. How's it smell? You remember that smell? You say, man, it's been so long, I can't even remember that smell. That new car, boy, it smells good. About that fourth year, you're getting, you know, you've not got it paid for, or third year, but you're just about there. And you think, do I still have to make the payment on this old car? Mud all over it, dirt all in it. This thing don't smell too good anymore. Yeah, you've still got to make that payment till you get it paid off. Got to make that payment down there till we get it paid off so we can go on to something else. Well, I see you're excited about that. That's a past victory. Thank God for it. But it's not going to do us any good today and tomorrow and 10 years ago if we don't move ahead with the plan of God. Yeah, that's what I thought. Amen. Well, the children of Israel, they had all kinds of victories. They had left Egypt. They had conquered the land of Canaan. They had even survived a split in their country. I mean, they had some victories. They had those under their belt. But right here, when this is written, they're in captivity. Their previous victories, they weren't thinking about them. They were not helping them. They were in captivity, and they needed a new work. They needed a new miracle. They needed God to show up in a new way. So the question isn't, what did God do for you? It's, what is God doing for you now? So the past victories, okay, they're good, but we got to have more. And how about the past failures? Ever made a mistake? Ever failed? All of us have. Well, you cannot allow that past to control the future either. We can't allow the past failures to possess us and say, oh, we can't do this or we can't do that. You don't dwell on the past. How about the children of Israel? They had failed miserably. They made mistake after mistake. And every time God would bless them with good things, they turned around and seemed to mess it up. He gave them the temple, and what did they do? Started having idol worship. God gave them the truth, and they were just living a lie. He gave them the commandments, and they just thought they were some suggestions from somebody. On and on the story goes. God gave them Himself, and they rejected that. Had they made some mistakes? Yes, indeed. They made a lot of mistakes. But they had in a mindset, some of them maybe, well, I don't deserve anything from God. I've made so many mistakes, I just don't deserve anything from God. And we get that in our thought pattern sometimes. Well, I messed up over here, and maybe God don't want anything to do with me. Yes, He does. He does want something to do with you. And I'll tell you, He does, because He loves you. And he loved the children of Israel. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. God was not condemning the children of Israel for their past. Now, they made mistakes. He wasn't pleased. We know that. But He said, I'm offering you grace here. I'm offering you a new start. I'm offering you a new thing for a new time. And they needed to take Him up on it. And He was there saying, here, I'm not condemning you. I'm giving you an opportunity to start again, to start over. Isaiah 55:7 on the screen says, let the wicked forsake his ways and evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will freely pardon. Let the wicked forsake his ways. Let the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and He'll have mercy on him. Let us turn to the Lord. He'll have mercy on us. The fact is, you can't live on yesterday's faith. You've got to have faith for today, not yesterday's faith. The children of Israel here had experienced all sorts of blessings from God. The first Passover, the crossing of the Red Sea, the building of the temple, conquering the land of Canaan. On and on we could go at the victories that they had. But it was not sufficient to deliver them right here. They were still in captivity. They need new faith, new vision for a new time. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Psalm 85:6. Will you not revive us again? Look at the next slide. After we change our focus, sometimes we just got to clarify our focus. We got to get some clarity. Discover what God wants for you. What, you know, if somebody handed you a piece of paper right now and a pencil and said, write down what God wants for you, what would you say? This is what God wants for me right now. Do you know what God wants for you? Well, I'm just going through the motions, you know, and I've done this and I've graduated, or I'm about to graduate, or I'm going to do this and do that. What does God desire for you today, right now? I want you to think about that. I want you to pray about that. And then I want you to go after it and do what He would have you to do. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Do you not perceive it? Do you not know what I'm doing? Can you not see what I'm doing? Do you just not care what I'm doing? Do you not recognize what I'm doing? Do you not acknowledge what I'm doing? Are you not aware of what I'm doing? Do you just don't understand what I'm doing? It's what this scripture means. Do you not perceive it? Do you not know? Do you not care, recognize, acknowledge? Are you not aware of? Do you not understand what I want to do in your life? And God's asking that question today. Do you see? Do you understand? Do you see possibilities or problems? Maybe you see both. But what does God want to do in that situation? What's God up to in your life? Well, the children of Israel, back to the story, they had a choice. God said to them, yes, I know the past. Yes, I know all the things that's happened here. I see what's going on, but listen here. I'll make a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Do you believe God can do that for you? Do you believe God can truly make a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland? I believe He can. I know He can. Will you allow Him to do it? Will you discover what He wants you to do here in life? Somebody said one time, well, we just need to see ourselves as God sees us. This half of the room went, oh, no. This half of the room said, oh, yes. To see ourselves the way God sees us. Well, now, oftentimes, half the people will say, oh, no, I'm a terrible old guy, and I've done this, and others say, oh, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus, and I'm heaven bound. You know, which way are you looking at it? The children of Israel, they felt like, man, we're getting just what we deserve. We've messed up so much here, and here God, here we are in captivity again. Will God ever have anything to do with us? You better believe He will, because He loves mankind. Maybe you feel that way today. Maybe you think, well, my past has been a wasteland, that's for sure. God can make something new out of it. God can do something new if we'll let Him. Look with me at the slide, Romans 8. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free, and the law of sin and death. Look at Colossians 1:21. Once you were alienated from God, were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight without blemish and free from accusation. You want to discover what God wants for you? You got to see your possibilities as God sees them. And God says, I'm making a way in the desert. I'm making a way in the desert. I'm making a way for you. How many of you has been in a situation before that really you thought there's no way out? Have you ever felt that way? Raise your hand. If you're breathing, raise your hand. That's what I thought. About half of you dead in 4 o'clock. Now, I don't know what's wrong with me or you one or all of us today. We're just, well, Lord, the Lord loves us. He's going to help me. I know He'll help you. There's no way out of this. I mean, this situation, you know, I don't know, Lord. I just don't see a way out. And God says, listen, I'm going to help you. I love you, and I've proven that love. You know I love you. Yes, well, and this will come to your mind, this thing of the past or this thing you did or that thing. Yes, I know all that, and the devil brings it back up. And God says, listen, I love you, and I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to make a way for you if you'll trust me, if you'll serve me. Here we go. Take my hand, and let's go forward. Let me do a new thing. Would you forget that past? I want to do a new thing. It springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not understand? God was kind of saying, hey, smack yourself in the face. Hey, pinch yourself. Don't you understand? Don't you see? Are you asleep? Wake up. I want to do a new thing in your life. I've got some blessings I've got for you. I've got a new era for you. Perceive it. Take hold of it. Understand it. I want to do something new in your life. You got to see those possibilities. You've got to see that God will make a way in the desert if we'll allow Him. He's got a plan and He's got a purpose. Look at 2 Corinthians on the screen. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Being transformed. Now, what am I going to do here? What step do I need to take through all this? I remember the story of the Israelites. I know what you're saying there, preacher, but what am I, how do I just grab hold of it, so to speak? I understand what you're saying. Look at the next slide. Commit yourself to God's plan. You can understand the story of the Israelites. You can know the history. You can read the books. You can read the Bible. You can get a hold of that and know it. Yeah, okay, I've got that. I understand what you're saying. To do a new thing, to see a new thing, to see what God's up to, you got to commit yourself to God's plan. That's when the rubber hits the road. That's where the nitty-gritty is. That I must commit myself to what God is saying for me to do. And then, a lot of times, we get in trouble because we want to do what we want to do. We don't want to do it God's way. We want to do it our way. Listen, if you want God to do a new thing in your life, commit yourself to God's plan. What is His plan? Seek His plan. Have new interest in the things of God, that He can do what He wants to do. God has already set in motion the events and people in your life to help you. God set in motion in this story about the children of Israel, people to help them out of captivity. He had already set it in motion and to move them back to the land of blessing if they wanted what God was offering. Now, they could refuse it and just go on the way they are, or they can accept it. Either way, they had a choice. Now, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. God has already set into motion for you a direction. Do you believe that? Do you really believe it? That God has something for you to do? That God sees you individually and God loves you, and you can talk with the Creator of the universe, God Himself, through Jesus Christ, that Jesus loves you. He died for you. He has a plan for you. Do you believe it? Do you live it? Are you going to seek it? Are you going to search out for it? Now, well, I don't understand it all the time. I know sometimes we can have some trouble, if we're honest, I believe, understanding sometimes that perfect will of God. But take it one day at a time. Take it every day with a prayer to God the first thing in the morning. Be in His Word on a daily basis. Come to church and where the Word's being taught in small groups and Sunday school and whatever chance you can, and be before the Lord. Sit quietly, like that song said, before the Lord. Pour out your heart to Almighty God and trust in Him and commit yourself to God's plan, and He'll show you the way to go. Do you understand it all? I don't understand all tomorrow will be about. But today, I choose to walk where I believe the Lord would have me to walk. I choose to do the things I believe God would have me to do today. Tomorrow comes, I'm going to do the same thing. One foot in front of the other. One day at a time. Doing and walking in the will of the Lord. He has a plan for us to do that. He's set in motion for that to happen, for purpose in our life. My only problem is choosing to follow Him. That's the only thing, is committing myself to God's plan. Is God a good God? Yes or no? Is He a cruel God? No. Finally got one out there. No. Does He have a plan for His people? Yes, He does. Well, why aren't we walking in it? Well, don't you say that to me. I am walking in it. I hope you are walking in it. Are you excited about God's plan? Are you excited about your plan? Are you committed to your plan or God's plan? You see, we can get them confused. In all honesty, we certainly can. We can get confused on which direction to go. That's why it's so important that we stay close to God, that we stay in His Word and we have that intimate prayer life with God. And then sometimes it's like, well, you know, have you ever said to God, would you please send me a letter so I can get it in the mailbox, just read it and tell me what to do? When it's like, I'm trying, God. I want to make the right choice. I want to go the right way. I want to make the right decision. And it just don't seem to be working. I've sure been there. And I've said to Judy many a times, laughing, but really serious too, I wish God would just send us a letter. We'd just get in the mailbox today. Okay, Ron, do this in this situation. You say, well, didn't you read the Word? Didn't you pray? Yes, I read the Word. Yes, I prayed. So I know what it is to think, well, I don't know which way to go right here. Hang on. Hang on. Keep the faith. Step by step. Day by day. Staying true. Steadfast. One step after the other, and just as sure as you love God with all your heart, just as sure as Jesus died on the cross to save you from sin, just as sure as there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, I'm here to tell you God will take your hand and you'll march right on down through life. And one day, it'll all be over and you'll go to heaven. What kind of deal is that? Pretty good deal. Best deal I've ever come across. You say, well, I'm still talking about this decision right here. I'm still trying to figure out this little part of life. One day at a time, in the Word, prayer, doing what you know to do, having faith in God. Well, I still got a question or two. I've got more questions than any preacher ought to have. Isn't that right, Brother Sally? He don't have any questions. He's done got it figured out. I'm just picking on the preacher today. We'll have some questions, but I'm here to tell you, God's got you back. Do you believe it? God's got you back. God's got the divine plan. God's got it figured out. Now, I've got to commit myself to His plan, and I hope you will. I hope I will. He's already got things in motion for us. The last slide, Psalm 95, He is our God, and we are His people, the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. We're His people, saved by the blood, flock under His care. And today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Keep it soft, pliable. Allow God to mold it. So it does seem that a while ago it was time to come to an altar. And Angie sang about that heart. That scripture right there talks about the heart. Don't harden your heart. We said it's just time to come give God your heart. Tell Him the things on your heart. It's a matter of the heart. So here we are today. I remind you that God says, forget the former things. Now those past victories, rejoice in them. But they're not going to get you through the next 10 years. You can remember them. They're precious. Those past failures, let them go. Let them go. Don't hang on to them. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. What's that new thing? What is God up to in your individual life? Your life? Your life. Maybe I should have handed that piece of paper out and that pencil and said, write down what God's up to now in your life. You got some paper and pencil at home. Maybe sometime this week you'll just get that paper and pencil out. I don't need to see it. You need to see it. I need to see mine. And think a while. God, what are you up to? What's the new thing you're going to do in me? Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? You not understand it? You don't care? What's the deal? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Stand with me if you will. I know we've already been around the altar. You're welcome to come again, but we're not going to sing all day. If you want to come, you better come on the first verse today. Oh, no. But we've been up here. What? Listen to me. Stay in tune. Step by step. Day by day. Trusting the Lord. And allow Him to do a new thing. Allow Him to give you new vision. And whatever season you are in life, God loves you. I don't care. So many people who have gotten older said to me time and time again here and other places too, Brother Ron, I just can't do what I used to do. I understand that. God understands that. I just can't do what I... Whatever season you are in life, God loves you. If you're in that elderly bracket, God loves you and has a plan for you. And don't you forget that. Don't you forget how precious you are to the church and His kingdom. Nobody said you ought to be doing everything at 80 as you did at 20. Well, I'm middle-aged or I'm whatever age. God has a plan for you in that season of life. Well, I'm just getting started. God has a plan in that season of life. Well, I don't even know what's going on in life. God has a plan. And we must say, come on, God, I'm ready. I want that new thing. I want that new vision. I want to see clearly. And Ron Leonard's humble, feeble mind, God, just send me the letter. Let me read and tell me what to do. God, I want to do it. So whatever season you're in, let God do a new thing in your heart. Father, we love You. We praise You. And yes, all ages are represented. All seasons of life are gathered. And Father, we simply bow before You once again this day to say we're going to commit ourselves to God's plan. Help us to see clearly. Give us that vision. And Lord, for those who are saying, I don't see how, You've said that You will make a way in the desert. You would make streams in the wasteland, and we claim it for us today. Have Your way with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.